Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy.
Okay, hello everyone and welcome to the show. Now, just a quick interruption to your normally scheduled podcast. Are you thinking about starting your own podcast? Or maybe you have a podcast, but it's an expensive hobby or a labor of love. But what if a podcast wasn't just a podcast? Imagine turning your ideas, your skills, your gift into a profitable business tool. At Profitable Podcasts, we help coaches and entrepreneurs to create, launch, and monetize their podcasts with ease to build visibility and authority and attract leads and clients easily and simply. So skip the overwhelm and the never-ending social media, emails, workshops, networking, and attract your perfect clients, and all without spending a thing on ads. So if you're ready to make your voice your most powerful asset, let's talk. Reach out or head over to profitablepodcast.com to see how this will work for you. And now, on to your scheduled podcast episode. So today we have with us Mardi Winder Adams, the founder of Positive Communication Systems and divorcecoachforwomen.com, who help high-achieving women navigate divorce on their own terms through personalized coaching, mediation, and conflict resolution. Through her concierge divorce coaching services and extensive training programs, Mardi guides clients to reduce the emotional and financial cost of divorce while developing the skills and the resources needed to move forward with confidence. Now, Mardi's dedication to understanding all aspects of divorce, from finances to emotional intelligence, demonstrates how specialized support can transform challenging transitions. And while launching two Amazon best-selling books and planning her upcoming summits, she's stepping out of her comfort zone to create an even greater impact for women feeling overwhelmed or unheard during divorce. I love this. Mardi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mark. That was a phenomenal introduction. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome, man. And it's all yours. So look, can you just expand on that a touch and just let us all know, you know, where you are today with your business, and yeah, tell me about those women that you love to help.
Well, and so there's a couple of things that I think that I'm really passionate about with my business. Is I think number one, when you're doing something that you can't wait to get up in the morning and you can't wait to work with your clients, you're on the right path. And it's taken me a lot of years to get here. I mean, I played around with a lot of other things. I didn't grow up going, gosh, I want to be a divorce coach when I grow up. You know, I got started. I did a lot of stuff, teaching, training, working in a domestic violence shelter, mediating, a bunch of stuff. And I think just coming, bringing everything together and really waking up and feeling mm-hmm. that sense of I'm helping people really drives me. And I think that's really changed my business to the point where now I'm excited. It's something I'm passionate about. And it's something that I think is making a change for people.
Yeah. Well, let's double down on that because, I mean, yeah, we all have transitions in our business and we evolve. We evolve, our business evolves, society evolves. But I always thought, you know, from ourselves, we'd fall on the first thing straight away. And that's the business. And all the coaches do tell you, your first idea may not be the one you stick with. And I always thought that was rubbish. During my entrepreneurial career, I've seen these changes, these shifts, these evolutions. And it's like, you can start to see how all these skills, experience comes together to allow you to serve at a higher level. So what is it about divorce coaching that really stood out for you, because this is not something that a lot of people maybe even know exists or think, why is this even necessary? So can you just like get rid of a few myths and just expand a touch more on how this makes such a difference?
Well, that's a really great question, Mark. Thank you. I think one of the things is I was working as an executive and leadership coach. I did my certification in that, and I was working on that. And I found so many of the people I was working with, both men and women, that were seeking a coach, or their company had hired a coach for them, and I was the person that was there. They were struggling with interpersonal issues, typically within the workplace. Their team wasn't functioning well, or they didn't feel that they were functioning well. And so a lot of those people, not everyone, but I would say a majority of them, were also struggling with interpersonal relationships outside of their business world. So their spousal relationship, or their partner, or their children. And so these dynamics don't just stay in a container. So if you're struggling with whether you're going to stay married to your partner and you're trying to run a business, you can't just draw a line and walk into work and go, well, I'm through worrying about my personal life because I've got my work hat on now. This is what I'm doing. But people think they can. They really think they can. There was a really interesting study. I think it was the University of Minnesota did a study and found that productivity drops by up to 40% for up to 2 years around that divorce time. And if you've been through a divorce, I have been, I can tell you, you're not focused on work as much as you are when you're not worried about your personal life. You've got additional financial pressure, and you're worried about your children, and you're worried about your family, and sometimes you're worried about what other people are talking about. So all that stuff that you're dealing with takes up energy, it takes up space in our head, and it limits our decision-making ability and our productivity. And when I started working with clients at that executive level and seeing all of this, I had been a divorce mediator for many years. People, when they found that out, and now it's so easy because they just Google you and they know what you've done in your past life. And they were able to say, hey, I'm going through this divorce, or I'm thinking about a divorce. Can you give me some insight? Help me with this. So even though I technically didn't become a divorce coach until 2015, I was helping people probably 15 years before that.
So it's more you were a productivity, a personal coach that happened when people said, I don't want to drop. I don't want to, because we still need to perform. We still need to enjoy our lives. We still need to, well, we need our wits about us during a divorce and be able to approach it with emotional intelligence, emotional immunity to be ourselves. So that stats, that I love when people come with data and research and stats, 40% productivity drop for up to 2 years around a divorce. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's massive. So this shows the importance of having the right people and guiding you through this. So just if you can continue with that. So with the, it was coaching, maybe executive leadership, personal coaching, but happened to be, I want this before, during my divorce. What led you to really focus on that, to say, yeah, I think this is a thing. I think this is super duper important.
Exactly what you alluded to, I think, when we were talking before we started recording, I guess, is that there is this sense of disjointedness and almost overwhelm and uncertainty, and just going through this, even if you've been through a divorce before, every divorce is different. And there's that sense of anxiety and stress and distress around the whole divorce process. And then once people recognize that this is impacting their life, well, who do they go to? Do they go to a therapist? Perhaps. Do they go to an attorney? Most definitely. If you've got assets, you're going to want to have legal protection. But who really puts all the pieces together? Almost like I call it like sort of a concierge or a case manager role. Who helps you, you know, when it's 7 o'clock on a Friday evening and you're just feeling overwhelmed and it's just like, I don't know what to do with this. Who do you call? Who do you talk to? Probably not other professionals. As a divorce coach, for my clients, I'm available by text or email 24/7. I don't always answer 24/7, but you know, if people know it's, if it's urgent, they have a way to get hold of me. And I just feel that having that long-term coaching relationship with somebody is so much more effective than mediation, which I dearly love. And I think it's so valuable to do, but a mediator has maybe a couple of sessions with each client before, maybe one or two sessions is actually a mediation, or in some places it's like a, you know, kind of wham, bam, get it done. We just sit down for 8 hours and we just hammer out a deal. The mediator is a total neutral in the room. They can't represent either side. And so I find for myself, helping people get prepared. So when that they're dealing with, whether it's talking to their attorney or talking to their ex or talk or sitting in the mediation room, they have a really clear picture of their bottom line and what they'd really like to get out of it. So they're making the best decisions and they're feeling really good about it.
Making decisions from the right place. We always talk about on this podcast, the approach. When you approach something in the right place, when you're in the right frequency, vibration, energy, everything, you make different decisions. I mean, never make a damn decision from fear, or when you're in fear, it never goes well. But I just want to talk before we, maybe we'll jump onto that in a minute, but I want to just harp on about the difference, because mediators, super important. Therapists do a fantastic job, but they're different. The mediator, as you said, is neutral. The therapist is non-personal. As you are a coach, you get to discard the restrictions that other people abide by, and rightly so, but you get to be, to guide them through this experience. You're with them, you're helping them with skills, application of skills. That is what is, I think, is so different about the work that you do alongside these other fantastic professionals. Tell me about what it's been like for you with some of your clients. That selfishly, what do you love to see happen with your clients?
I love to see my clients. Now I've got to mention, I have recently started working with men. I used to work exclusively with women. And then about mid last year, I started getting a lot of calls from men saying, would you work with me? And I'm thinking, they're calling me, I'm divorce coach for women, and they're calling me. And it was because, you know, that they, it was word of mouth. Somebody had said, well, Marty really helped me through my divorce. And so they were calling me. So now I do work with men and women. And I think both parties have, both genders or both groups have different expectations going through the divorce, and different ways of showing emotional vulnerability, different ways of feeling uncertain about the future. And so just having that ability to walk with my clients. So I don't, you know, I don't deal with the therapy. I don't deal with like, what are the issues or what's in the past, but what about the nuts and bolts? Like when your attorney says, get all your financial documents to me by Friday. Well, what does that even mean? Like, what are my financial documents? Where can I find them? What if I don't know where they are? Where could I start looking? These are the things that keep people stressed and overwhelmed during the divorce, where, you know, they can just call me, we can sit down, and we'll, and I just say, have you ever, do you know if there was any insurance policies? You ever remember seeing any insurance policies? You know, so we just talk through things in a very conversational way.
Yeah, but that moment when you're in stress, I mean, this is step 9 of the Unforget Yourself system. We call it crisis mode. It's that place where you've done the thing, you're getting the results of the thing, and you hit, maybe it's not going the way you want it to, it's overwhelm. And I remember this years, not through divorce, but years ago when my family went through a health crisis. And I remember driving my car and reversing. It was a brand new car. It had sensors, it had a camera. And I still reversed gently and slowly into a pole. And it was the strangest moment, but all I could say was, I couldn't see. I could obviously see, but I couldn't see. Now I know through the work we've done, I couldn't process it. I couldn't process this information. So when you're in a state of stress, especially divorce, which is so heightened, you can't remember the simplest damn thing. Have you got insurance, bank details? What about this? So for you to better guide people through that, to reduce Well, it's mental, it's emotional, it's neurochemical. There's so much in this that to guide someone through that place is so important.
And I think the other thing, and when you're talking about this, that is so true when we're under stress. And one of the other things a divorce coach does, well, I do for my clients, is I do that emotional check-in with them. Are you using a mindfulness practice? If you're not, let's design one. Let's create one just for you. What do you want to do? Is your mindfulness practice, you're going to go walk outside for 5 minutes or 10 minutes with no headphones, no nothing, and just listen to nature. And maybe if you live in an urban area, maybe you're going to sit out on your balcony and watch the sun come up and enjoy a beautiful cup of coffee in the morning. Whatever it looks like for you, let's get it started and let me kind of be your accountability partner, because we know when you get that overwhelmed, the first thing that goes out the door is self-care. And that for me is sleep, exercise, and nutrition. Because if you're not meeting those basic needs, Maslow's hierarchy, right? If you're not meeting those basic needs, you can't make effective decisions. And so it's all intertwined. And I think that's where, to go back way back to your first question or your in this series, that's where that divorce coach is different than any of those other professionals, because there is a regular interaction. I work with my clients for 8 months, either 8 months or 3 months. That's the only two options you've got with me. And I really get to know where they are, where they're at, but more importantly, where they want to be when this divorce is over. Because again, knowing where you want to go helps you make the right decisions when you're sitting at that mediation table or when you're talking to your attorney. So it's that, I guess, holistic look at the divorce, but more important, the holistic look at the client that I'm working with.
Oh, I love that. So if I can summarize this, so step one, get the basics down and become less stupid. And number two, where do we go? And that first one, so become less stupid. I heard this, I can't remember where it was, not too long ago. When we're in fight or flight, when we're in a bad place, all of our blood goes to our hands and our legs so we can fight or run. We're not digesting, so our internal systems are working at lower capacity. The blood flow in our head goes to the primal aspect so that we can react. We want to say, I want to solve a massive puzzle, but I want to be able to react quickly if something comes towards me. So we do turn stupid because we go to reactive mode. So that's the sort of science behind it. And right. When I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, in stress, we turn stupid because stupid fights. That's what we need. So I love, get the basics right. Sleep, exercise, nutrition. So easy to put off. Take care of ourselves. And then from that place, okay, where are we going? I love that. It's so simple. It's
and
not
even
easy.
Something is, yeah. And even as simple as, what are you doing to have fun? People, when I ask people going through a divorce, go, what are you doing? They're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm going through a divorce. How can I have fun? And I always say to them, look, this is really important. You have to be socializing. You can't be isolated. You have to have time where your brain can disengage from worrying about the divorce and just enjoy life. And again, how do you build that into a daily practice so that you come out the other side and you don't need, you know, a year sabbatical to kind of get yourself mentally and physically built back up again?
Choice. Marley, what you're telling me is this is all a choice. We can choose to go through a divorce in a negative, secluded, hard way, or we can choose to go through it in a way that nourishes ourselves, that takes care of ourselves. Either way, we're going on this journey. So the choice is, do you want this and that? Can you help me out here? Because there's one aspect of this that I want to just help, if you could expand it from your perspective. Sometimes, and I've done this before, I know I should be happy with this situation. I can do it, but I'm choosing to suffer. I'm choosing to be like, I know I could be happy in this moment. I can change my perspective, but right now I just need to dwell for a little bit. How do you help people with that very basic human trait to, yes, you can sit in this for a bit, but we need to move forward. This is a choice. I will honor it for so long, but I'm going to guide you through this. So how do you help that nuance? Because I think that nuance is important.
That's a good question. And I think it really, so again, it's individualized with each client. But as a coach, I never tell people what they should do. I just don't. That's not my role. My role is to help you explore all the possibilities and then you choose what works for you. But I think doing that, you know, the values assessment, like what are your values? I do that with my clients. We align our values. We do the emotional intelligence checklist. And then I just ask people, if these are your numbers for forever, are you, or are the, if these are your results for forever, are you going to be happy? And if they're saying, you know, I'm a 10 on the stress scale and I'm a 2 on the happiness scale, if those were your numbers for forever, would you be happy? And almost nobody says, yes, that's what I really want for the rest of my life. So then I, you know, then the next question is, what do you, where would you like them to be? And what's the smallest step you can take to start moving that needle, whatever direction you want it to go? And then we have a conversation around it. And I am really pushy with my clients about getting that authentic answer for yourself. Whether they want to verbalize it to me or whether they want to write it down on a piece of paper and not share it, that's up to them. But I think that once people make the decision to improve their life, they will start doing it. But if they want to sit for a while in that, I call it the victim mentality, you can do that. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you stay there forever, there will be consequences. And that's going to impact your relationship with your kids, with your family, yeah, with your employer, and maybe, and potentially limit your ability to have a satisfying next relationship. So I think mm-hmm. people have to make the decision for themselves. But again, it comes down to, have you looked at all the options? And what is the custom approach that you're going to design for yourself to dig out of this hole?
I love that question. Put that on a t-shirt. If those were your numbers forever, would you be happy? We can use this in, obviously, with your relationship, with your happiness, even in business. It's such a beautiful question. It's such a confrontational question without being confrontational. You can say it and sit back and you get to find your own answer. There's something beautiful I like in that approach that's so direct, so caring, but also it allows you to find your own answer. So with that thread, find your own answer. What's this been like for you? Because as you've now expanded this divorce coaching, have you helped thousands, so many women to be able to guide that, now men coming through this. What is this looking like for you? How are you evolving as a coach, as a guide in this moment?
I am a very firm believer that if you are not constantly improving yourself, then you need to look at your numbers as well. And so one of the things that I have worked on and how I think I've evolved, I've taken a couple of extra certifications to help clients. I've taken my high conflict divorce. So I work now with people that are dealing with extremely toxic partners where you cannot treat them like rational individuals going through the divorce because they're not going to behave rationally. You know, they're going to just scorched earth the whole divorce rather than be seen as losing. I'm saying that in quotes. So I've done that certification. I have a couple of coaches myself. I am working with a mindset coach because I feel that sometimes I get stuck in I wouldn't say I'm a negative person, but I get stuck in those limiting beliefs sometimes. Yeah. And I decided, this is kind of crazy, Mark, but I decided 2025 was the year that I was not going to say no to any opportunities. So I am doing a big summit. I have done several smaller summits. I'm speaking on, I think I'm scheduled for 15 summits in the first part of this year. I'm doing a retreat in the fall for women who have gone through divorce and are looking at, you know, kind of getting away and just recreating, reinventing themselves. And I'm doing additional training this year that I have never done in the past. And it's so exciting. I'm just like, yeah, bring it on. I want to do this because the more I can be, I don't want to be the answer to anybody's problems, but the more that I can ask the right questions to help people discover their own solutions, I think the better I am as being a coach. So that's my goal. And that's where I see my continued evolution is to get the training and then to be able to bring it together with what my clients need in that very customized, individualized approach to this.
Yeah. Well, every step you take, you bring more another tool, another tactic, another insight, and the honesty of, you know, of course it's not a one and done. Just because you coach people through this, you also need your own. You've hit a new ceiling, you'll hit a new level. So you need someone to show you what you can't see on your own, because you'll never see all your own stuff. So I like that honesty of, yeah, maybe it's some negativity, some limiting beliefs. It's just the next level. It's that's all it is. And spoiler, it's never going to change. There's always going to be a next level, always some more growth. So that open mindset of, well, share this with me. What's the biggest challenge you're maybe facing now, or that you'll see soon in the future, that once you've overcome that, whether it's tactically or mentally, emotionally, you're now going to have even more experience to give to your clients. What would that be?
I think the biggest challenge, and this is something I'm continuing to work on, is that sense of, I don't want to overstep. I don't want to get too big, because there's this sense of almost anxiety around the idea of, what if, you know, what if I was able to accomplish this? And again, I think that becomes that sort of limiting, right? Because once you start saying, oh man, what, you know, what if I, instead of going, what if I do this and all this wonderful stuff happens, your first thought is, what if I do this and then all this crappy stuff happens, right? Like, people start attacking me on social media because they don't believe in divorce coaching or whatever. And just working through that stuff. And I think for me, it's, I have to keep pushing myself. And for me, that is getting coaches that are going to push me.
Yeah. So some people, it's the fear of success. Somebody has fear of failure. So for you, that fear of success, which sometimes can people can be confused by it, which is like, of course, I'm not scared of this. But with more clients brings potentially less time, depending on what we've seen in the past. More work is harder and more stressful. So even if you don't consciously see this, we can subconsciously feel that if I get better, I'm, as you said, more people might challenge you online. Oh my word, I want you to be big enough so that people challenge you, because then you're making waves. People are seeing you. So these are things that, there it is, the perception shift. To have these comments online challenging you as a divorce coach rather than, yes, I've made it, I'm now having people challenge me. It's a different mindset, and it's sometimes it can be a bit jarring, but yes, here's the next challenge. Yes, I've received this. How can you shift your mindset to celebrate those things that maybe you've tagged as fear or tagged as scary? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think, again, I find I'm working with a mindset coach right now, and I really find that just doing those exercises, just opening yourself up to whether you want to call it the universe or the energy flow in the universe or whatever, and understand that everything is a possibility, and the only person that's ever stopping you is yourself. I think that is, I think that's one of the kind of the guiding things. As a matter of fact, I actually, on the back of my business cards, this is the quote I have printed. It's by Ralph Waldo Emerson. It says, "The only person you're destined to become is the person you decide to be." And I put that on the back of my business cards because I think if I decide to be this person, or my clients decide to be this person, then we are going to be happy, and we're going to be in that place where we are able to serve others and be of value and just be in that whole positive vibe, positive energy state. And whatever that is for an individual, it's not my place to judge. It's their decision to make. And when they're there, they're going to know it, and I'm going to know it. And that's all that really matters.
I think we're going to end it there. That's a beautiful place to park this. I mean, forget that quote. I want your quotes. Everything is a possibility. I mean, sometimes we just need a bit of help. So to understand that everything is a possibility, from that place, where do you want to go? So I love that. Beautifully put. Oh,
thank you. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
Marty, well, look, thank you so much for sharing not only the amazing work that you do and how you help people through this this crazy, crazy time, but a little bit behind the scenes of your business and your outlook. It's always fantastic. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciated this. And thanks to your listeners for tuning in.
Thank you so much. And look, for those who want to know more about you and the amazing work that you do, how can they reach out? How can they find you?
Best way is just go to www.divorcecoach4women. That's the number 4.com. Or if you're a gentleman or identify as a gentleman, you can go to www.poscs.com.
Fantastic. Well, everyone, if you're curious or think, hell yes, or just want to start the conversation, please reach out. And Marty, look, thanks again. This has been, so much fun.
Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is. And we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah. So please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
Oh, yeah. See you next time.
Bye.